We thank you for what you're bringing forth in each one of our lives. And we thank you for that what you're bringing forth will be the basis of all that will come forth in the future, Father. For you are building into us deep foundations, Father. You're building into us, O God, an eternal reality, Father. You're bringing us forth as a people who belong to you, as a people who are set apart to the glory of your name. You're bringing forth in us, O God, a miracle of life, Father. The miracle of life that enables us to walk by you, to live by you, to live through you, Father. You are unveiling your name, and you're opening to us a living sanctuary, Father. And we pray, Father, that we will come alive to all that you mean to bring forth in us, Father. All that you mean to bring forth, O Lord, so that we can function in your grace and in your mercy. So that we can function to the glory of your name. So that we can bring forth in our lives a fruitfulness that will bear testimony that you are our God. So, Father, we commit this time into your hands, and we pray that the word that you bring forth will be word that will be established in our lives forever. Word that will be, O Lord, a living expression of your purposes in our lives. Explain your word into us, Father, by your Spirit in the fullness of the name of Jesus. Manifest in us all that you mean to do with each and every one of us, Father. Let your will be made manifest. Let your word explain your thoughts to us, Father. Let them be your word, Father. Let them be, O God, realities that you mean to establish in us, Father. We ask, O God, for the miracle of life to manifest in each one of us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we want to do something in the name of the Lord. We want to open something for us to understand how God means for each one of us to unfold. This is part of the fulfillment of the law that we have been doing as a series. Turn with me, please, to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 to verse 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 to verse 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. This is the highest form of God's law. It commands us to love him. But in commanding us to love him, God is also telling us many things about ourselves. In commanding us to love him, God is also saying that we are designed to love him. We are designed in heart, soul, mind, and strength to know him and to love him and to express him. We are actually designed to function in God and by God and through God. We are actually designed to unveil the fullness of the Lord our God. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30 verse 6 so that we can see something that is very important to us in this verse. It tells us that God will circumcise our hearts so that we will come to love him. Moreover, the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, in order that you may live. In order that you may live. God says that if you're going to live, you need to love me with all your heart and with all your soul. In the New Testament, this is called the law of life. This is called the law of life, that God must circumcise us so that we will come to actually love him. Not imaginary love, but actual love for the Lord. And God says, all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength is designed to unveil this love. And God then says, now this is how you will come to live. Life is determined by who God has become in our lives. Life is determined by what we can receive and realize and express through God. In the Old Testament, it was given as a commandment. In the New Testament, Moses prophesied that there will come forth a circumcision of our heart that will enable us to actually love God. And this will enable us to live. Now, this is God's work in our lives. This is something that God will bring forth in our lives. So as we come to before the Lord, we need to understand that the Lord our God has designed us to live by him. That if we are going to live, we are going to live by all that he is. If we are going to live, we are going to live through all that He has become in our lives. It is very important that we understand that faith must ultimately result in a true love for God. In a true love for God. And everything in our life is measured by how much we actually love God. Everything in our life, everything in our ministries, everything that we do is measured not by what we possess, not by what we have, but it's measured by how much we love God. How much we have realized God's love for us. It's very important for us to understand this because God says, loving me is the basis for your life. Loving me is the basis for all that you are going to become. Loving me is the basis for all that I will do with you. If you love me, then you will see me. If you love me, then you will see what I can bring forth in your life. So this is the law that God has unveiled to us. In the New Testament, this law is explained in Romans chapter 8, verse 2. It is called the law of life. It is called the law of life. Romans chapter 8, verse 2. Romans chapter 8, verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. So the New Testament opens what Moses, by the Holy Spirit, wrote in the Old Testament, and he expresses it by how God will unveil this law in our life. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Now it says two very important things. That life is defined in Christ Jesus, and life is brought forth by the Holy Spirit. So the love of God that we need is given to us through the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is made alive from us by the Holy Spirit. So God works in our life to ensure that we live. And so the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus tells us that everything that is going to come forth in our lives is going to be defined in Christ Jesus and be brought forth by the Holy Spirit. Now we have taught before that there are four laws that will unveil this reality: the law of faith, the law of righteousness, the law of love, and the law of holiness. Now all of these four laws are meant to enable us to live in God and to live by God. And all of these laws will unveil in us as a circumcised reality. God will cut through our hearts to put His word into us. God will cut through our hearts so as to enable us to walk into all that He has given us. God has ordained that we are to love Him. God has designed us to love Him. And He means to circumcise our hearts so that we will actually come to love Him. And He defines that circumcision through four laws: the law of faith, the law of righteousness, the law of love, and the law of holiness. And all of these laws are meant to bring forth our lives in a growing fulfillment. I'm not going to go through all of these laws in detail because we have done them before. But all I want to say at this point is that faith brings something that is of God into us. Faith is substance. And that substance becomes an evidence. And that evidence is meant to tell you that God is real. So all of us in our lives are experiencing God. We are experiencing who He is. We are experiencing Him. And it's a growing reality. God is not a God of the imaginations. God is real to us. And God has come alive in each and every one of our lives in a particular way. And He has come to each one of us in very unique ways, right? And in each one of us, God is showing Himself to be someone real, someone tangible, someone we can depend on, someone we can live by, someone we can live through. All this is part of our growth in faith, okay? The law of righteousness simply says that everything that remains in our lives, everything that is established in our lives, is of the righteousness of God. It is something God has done in us. It is God's righteousness unveiled in us. The law of love says that God's love has become alive in us. God's love has become part and parcel of our being. God's love is alive in us. The law of holiness simply says that everything that is our being belongs to God. Okay? I'm going very, very broadly over this because the purpose of this teaching today is to unveil something to you of how God is going to circumcise your heart so that you will be able to function by Him. The purpose of circumcision is to enable you to live, alright? To live by God. To live by God in a reality where you have come to actually love Him. Okay? And that's what God is doing. This circumcision is not of man. This circumcision is of the Holy Spirit. Let's turn to Romans chapter 2, verse 29. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly. And circumcision is that which is of the heart by the Spirit, not by the letter. And his praise is not from men, but from God. Circumcision is that which is of the heart by the Spirit. Okay? So that circumcision is taking place in your heart. So the law of God says that your heart is designed to love God. And so how does God make you love Him? He circumcises your heart. Now how does He circumcise your heart? He circumcises your heart in four realities. He circumcises your heart through faith as He develops that faith in you. Right? The Bible says that Jesus is the author and the finisher of your faith. As you learn to live by the faith that you receive in God, as you learn to live by faith in God, in that faith God is cutting through all the worldliness and all the worldly desires, and He is establishing into you something that is of the evidence of Him, and He is doing this in your life all the time. And we need to understand that this is a process that is always there. Whether you are in your waking or in your sleeping, God is always doing this work in you. To establish within you a reality that is of the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. The faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. The true faith, the pure faith, the perfect faith. The faith that is authored and perfected by the Lord Jesus Christ. And God is doing that in each one of our lives. And when we see this being made manifest, we understand that God is working into us something that is of His righteousness. That means He is doing something. And when we see ourselves change, as we see ourselves grow in our ministries, as we see ourselves blossom in our relationships with others, as we see our life becoming more and more fulfilling, we need to understand that all this is the righteousness of God. He is working a miracle. He is bringing forth change in us. He is establishing in us something that we do not have in our lives. He is bringing forth something that we cannot achieve in our own excellence. It is something that is of the righteousness of God. That's why the Old Testament in Isaiah 64:6 says that all our righteousnesses are filthy rags. Can you catch that? Everything that we try to do in our merits will never stand before God. But everything that God does with us that we realize in His name, that will remain. And that is the righteousness of God. And that righteousness of God is being manifested into you as a circumcised reality. It is a covenant. It is something that God has done with you. And you come alive to that fact that this is something that God has done in me. And you also come alive to the fact that God is teaching me how to live by Him instead of just trying to live by myself. And as God circumcises your heart, what is He trying to do to you? He's trying to tell you that He is real. He's trying to tell you that you can live by Him, that you can function in His excellence, that you can function in His name. There is a reality that Jesus told us that covers anything. He said, you ask anything in my name, it will be given to you, it will be done for you. Anything. Anything that is good is open to you in order that you may live. And this anything that God wants to give you, He is going to give it to you by circumcising your heart, by cutting out all the worldliness, the desire for the things of the world, the desire to sin, for instance. Right? There are things that we sin in deliberately. There are sins that we do that are part and parcel of our nature. We involuntarily do it. Right? We have a nature that is sinful. And so there is a reality of sin that we do that is part and parcel of our nature. That sin only goes away as God changes us. But there's also another kind of sin, which is the sin of transgression, where we deliberately do sins, where we deliberately know that something is wrong and we do it. Jesus Christ died for that kind of sin too. And that's the good news. Now, how does that kind of sin leave you? It leaves you as God circumcises you. As God brings alive into you a fact that you actually love Him. As God draws you into His love so that you actually have a love for Him. And when you actually love God, then you will come to a point where you will not want to transgress His laws. You will come to a point where He will become more important to you than your own ego. Can you catch it? All right? So God circumcises us in these four realities. All right? Faith, righteousness, love. Right? The final testament of our circumcision is the love that we have for God. The love that we have for God that is shown towards others. And we can sense it. The moment we open our words and we speak with another person, we can sense whether we are speaking in the love of God or whether we are speaking selfishly, connivingly, right? With all kinds of hidden agendas. And we can measure our growth by the Spirit as we speak. And we speak all the time. Correct? We speak all the time. All right? And finally, we come into the reality of belonging to God, and that is holiness. And that too, God is unveiling as a circumcised reality. Right? What is a circumcised reality? A reality that God has brought into your life. A reality of God that God has established in you. Now, all of us have been circumcised to some extent or another. Right? There are some things we will not do anymore. There are some things that we have got no desire to do anymore. Before we used to do it, now we will never do it. But there are other things that we still do that are not right. There are other things that we do, right, that do not bear testimony of God. So circumcision is something that God establishes inside of you that proclaims His reality. Can you catch that? It took me a long time to try and figure it out. No? Why did God command that the Jews be circumcised? And they were circumcised outwardly, right? And the circumcision was done on the foreskin. And the reason was because that circumcision was to be a reminder to them, right, that all of their future generations depended on this fact of the circumcision, that they were set apart unto God. And that circumcision was to be an outward sign of an inward reality. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 17. Let's just read verse 1 and 2 for context. Now when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty, walk before me and be blameless. And I will establish my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly. Okay? Verse 11, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be the sign of the covenant between me and you. The circumcision was meant to be a sign of the covenant between God and man. Having said that, in verse 13, God takes the reality to a different level. The first half of that verse says, a servant who is born in your house or who is bought with your money shall surely be circumcised. That's the first half. And then there's the second half that has got no relationship with that. He says, thus shall my covenant be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. Since we die in the flesh, how can we have an everlasting covenant in the flesh? So he's talking about a different kind of flesh now. All right? All right? When you are born again, the book of Ezekiel said that God will give us a heart of flesh, correct? He will remove the heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh. You find that in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26. All right? That God says when we are born again, he will give us a new heart and a new spirit. He will give us a heart of flesh and he will remove the heart of stone. Correct? The removal of the heart of stone is part of this process of circumcision. Can you catch that? All right. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 10. Moses takes the circumcision and he puts it on the heart. Verse 16. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 16. Circumcise then your heart and stiffen your neck no more. Circumcise then your heart and stiffen your neck no more. Suddenly the reality of circumcision is no longer just an outward sign. It is meant to reflect an inward state. And he says, circumcise then your heart no more. And we just read from Deuteronomy chapter 30 verse 6 that God will circumcise our hearts so that we will come to love him with all of our heart and with all of our soul in order that we may live. Are you with me? All right. We read in Romans 2:29 that we are all Jews inwardly. Why? Because we are being circumcised in our heart by the Holy Spirit. Are you listening? Okay. Okay. We are being circumcised so that we will live in Christ Jesus and walk by the Holy Spirit. So that we will actually function in God and by God and through God. So that we will live by God and not by ourselves. That is what circumcision is. It is a process. It's a spiritual process that God is continually working into us to bring into us that which we cannot bring forth in ourselves. Can you listen? God gave a law in the Old Testament and nobody could obey the law. Or they could obey the law at a superficial level. Correct? So did God say his law is now null and void? No. What he says is, I will come into your lives and I will circumcise you so that my laws will be fulfilled in you. I will bring into you my righteousness and I will change you by my righteousness. I will change you by what I can do with you. I will give you a new heart. I will give you a new spirit. I will take out the heart of stone that you have and I will change you. I will wash you with clean water. I will remove from you every darkness. I will renew you, I will regenerate you, I will create you in Christ Jesus. Now we are quoting many scriptures in saying all this, right? Ephesians 2:10 says we are created in Christ Jesus. We are God's workmanship unveiled. Are you with me? All right, and God is working into us a process that can be categorized as a circumcision. God is bringing into us a reality that is not of ourselves, a reality that stands in his name and by his name. And in that circumcision, we will come to understand how God perseveres with us, how God has changed us, how God has brought into us things that we cannot do by ourselves. And in that process, we come to be grateful, we come to fall in love with the Lord our God. And so he says the actual reality of circumcision within you is the fact that you come to actually love God. Why? Because of what he has done in you. You begin to realize that everything in your life is being changed by God. Everything in your life is being brought forth by God. Everything in your life is being transformed in the power of God. And it is a process of circumcision, right? Something that God is doing with you. Something that God is bringing forth in your life that you do not have in yourself. And that's the good news. And he calls it a law. And he says this law, that means it is inviolate, correct? This law is in Christ Jesus. It is brought to life in you by the Holy Spirit. And this law is a circumcised reality. Living in this law, growing in this law, is a circumcised reality. It will enable you to live by the Lord your God instead of living by yourself and finding that life is full of despair. That life is full of turmoil. That life is full of disappointments. And so God is doing a great work in our lives. God is bringing forth something in each one of our lives that is of his own stature. Are you listening? All right, let's look at Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. Let's read from verse 9 for context. For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. And in him you have been made complete. So God is declaring something positional over our lives. In Jesus Christ you have been made complete. And he is the head over all rule and authority. And in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. Can you catch that? In him you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. A circumcision brought forth by the Holy Spirit. In the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. I find that a bit hard to understand. But in the little bit that I can understand up to this point, This circumcision of Christ is a circumcision in which we realize what He has accomplished for us, what He is able to bring forth in our lives, what comes forth into us by Him. And when that circumcision is manifested in your heart, you come alive to the fact that He has saved you, that He has changed you, that He has brought forth into you something that is of His stature, something that you were totally unable to do. You realize that as you live Christianity in your strength, that it comes to a point where it tapers off and you are struggling and you are finding, why am I struggling like this? It is very simple, because that was not how you were meant to live. You were not meant to live by what you can do. You were meant to live by what He could bring forth in you. And that's the key that we must understand. All right? Something that He brings forth in us. So this circumcised reality that God is bringing into us is a circumcision where we learn to live by God, where we learn to live through God, where we learn to live by what He is able to do with us. Okay, let's turn to Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. Verse 3. For we are the true circumcision, who worship in the Spirit of God, and glory in Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in the flesh. What are we saying here? We are the true circumcision, and we are circumcised according to how we are able to live by the Lord instead of in our own fleshly strength. Can you catch that? So we are the process of circumcision in the new covenant is not a one-time circumcision. It is a continuing, growing reality. It is something that will grow in you forever, actually, as God circumcises your heart and brings into you a reality where you are actually able to live by God. And when you actually live by God, you are actually worshiping God. Are you listening? When you actually live by God, you are actually worshiping God. Worship ultimately is not just song and dance. Worship ultimately is a lifestyle. A lifestyle where God is God. And what He brings forth, He brings forth in the stature of His name. Are you with me? Worship ultimately remembers Him. So God's name is a memorial name. And that memorial name is to be established in each one of our hearts. It is a memorial name by which we can live in Him and by Him and through Him. And that is what is the Christian faith. Until and unless we understand what it means to live by God, we do not know what it means to be actually saved. Salvation is more than just being born again. Salvation is actually learning how to live, living by God. And living by God is a circumcised reality. And the witness to that circumcised reality is the fact that you love God. Now, all of us love God in some measure. And it's a genuine love. It was not always there, but it has come alive in us and it is growing in us. And we know that that love for God is something that God has put into us. It is something that He has brought alive into us. And that love is very important, because that love nobody can shake from your life. God is love, the Bible says. So God is love. When the love of God manifests in your heart, then you have come alive to God in that reality. And that reality is a circumcised reality. That reality is the evidence of God. So what does faith do? Faith brings into you the evidence of God. And the evidence of God is a circumcised reality. It is a reality that tells you, my God is real. And no matter what happens to me, I know that that reality of God will carry me through. I may not understand many things, but I know that what God will bring into my life, it will be of God. It will stand in His name. It will proclaim His name. It will be made manifest in His name. Right? Are you listening? So we go back to the law of God, and let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. What does Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 4 tell us? Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. What is it making? It's making a statement. It says, "Hear, O Israel, you have an inward witness. You have an inward witness that came out of the cross for you. It is an inward witness that God has given you in blood, water, and spirit. It is an inward witness that God has unveiled inside of you. Through that inward witness, you hear God." Correct? Are you with me? That's why God says in the next statement, "You shall love me with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength." Where is your heart? Where is your soul? Where is your mind? And where is your strength? It is all inside of you. Right? So you relate to God from inside. You do not relate to God from outside. You relate to God from the inside. You relate to God in terms of how you see Him, how you hear Him, how you know Him, how you come to live by Him. Right? So the reality of God is an evidence that is given to you on the inside. And no human being can give that to you. Right? And that reality, when it comes inside of you, it is a circumcised reality. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. That is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It is not the ministry of men. I cannot circumcise your heart. I cannot give you a reality of God, no matter how well I preach. The reality of God is given to you by God. It is established inside of you by God. The substance of what is established inside of you is of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you with me? Faith is substance. Whose substance? His substance. If it is of your substance, then it's the wrong kind of faith. Hello? That's why Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. Right? Jesus must be the author and the finisher of our faith. What does author mean? That he is writing it. Correct? He is originating that faith. Right? What does finisher mean? He is perfecting it into us. He is making it complete. Correct? And unless he makes it complete, it cannot remain. Right? Because only that which is of God will remain. That which is of man will perish. Alright? And so, this circumcised reality that God is bringing into our lives, it means to enable us to know that we live by God. And it is not make-believe. It is something that God establishes inside of us. It is something that is of the handiwork of God. It is not of the handiwork of ministers. It is not of the handiwork of Moses or Paul or John or Elijah or Elisha or anybody else. It is the handiwork of the Holy Spirit. And so in this verse 4 it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one." Hear, O Israel, that there is a God and He is your God. Personal. He is your God, and you have to know that He is your God. You have to hear and understand that the Lord your God, He is God. It is not make-believe, right? It is something that is real and tangible. The Lord your God, He is God, and He is one. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. He is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. I'm quoting from Mark now. Because in here, it just leaves it as soul. But in Mark, the soul is broken up into soul and mind. Okay? And the Greek word for mind there is dianoia, your imaginative mind. Okay? So you are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. Your soul is your will, your emotions, your personality. Your mind, dianoia, your imaginations. All right? And that is also meant to unveil your strength. And that strength is meant to come forth in the name of the Lord your God. You are to live by the Lord your God. You are not to live by your own. Because human life tells us that living on our own is not a satisfactory state of being. Living on our own is not something that is fulfilling. No matter how talented we are, no matter how anointed we are, no matter what gifts we operate in, living by ourselves is ultimately futile. Because God designed us to live in Him and to live by Him and to live through Him. God designed us to live by Him. Now that design is brought into us as a reality that is called a circumcision. Cutting out all the rubbish and manifesting something that is pure and holy. Can you catch that? And this is what we call circumcision. This is what establishes a covenant between you and God. And the covenant between you and God is a personal covenant. Are you with me? The Lord your God is a personal God. And you are to love Him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. No other person can come between you and God. it is actually impossible, right? Right? Because your inward parts stand before God. Are you with me? So when God spoke to Abraham, he said what? Walk before me and be blameless. I am El Shaddai. I am the Almighty and All-Sufficient One. Walk before me and you will be blameless. Walk before me and be blameless. So in order to walk before God, God has given you a witness. Where did that witness come from? It came out of the cross. So the cross is manifested inside of you as a living witness. It is a witness of the blood, water, and spirit. And that witness inside of you enables you to stand before God all the time. All right? That's why you are aware of God, right? You may sometimes lead your life forgetting about God, but in the end, when you stop and stand still, or when you land up into problems, you find that what opens to you is the fact that you need God. Okay? And that's the witness of the cross, right? What is the witness of the cross? That man needs to be saved. That if man is not saved, he will die. Right? Normally, that witness comes to us very strongly when we are in trouble. When we feel alone, when everything around us is crumbling, that's when, right? The cross, the blood speaks, right? That there is a different option. There is a different life. There is a different future, right? That the world that we live in, the systems that we operate in, is not what it's all about. Because those systems are passing away. Those systems, right, are degenerating, right? And so God has unveiled into us something that stands in His name. And He wants us to respond to Him. And so we all hear God at different levels. So what is the difference between the different levels? The level to which we have been circumcised by the Holy Spirit. Okay, can you catch that? All right, so let's look at this circumcision to understand it. Right, let's turn to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 31, verse 18. Exodus chapter 31 verse 18. And when he had finished speaking with him upon Mount Sinai, he gave Moses the two tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone written by the finger of God. Chapter 32 verse 16. And the tablets were God's work, and the writing was God's writing engraved on the tablets. I want you to catch a picture here. The tablets were 100% from God. They were not from Moses. Moses was a great man of God, no doubt about that. But the two tablets that were given were not Moses' work. They did not stand because he paid the price for it. They were given to him by God. All right? And the tablets were God's work. And the writing on the tablets were God's writing. Okay? All right, let's come to the New Testament now. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3. I'm going to read parts of this verse. On the first line, you find a phrase that says, "You are a letter of Christ, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on human, but on tablets of human hearts of flesh." If you have a King James version of the Bible, you will see those words, "of flesh." "And such confidence we have through Christ towards God." Remember, we read about a circumcision made without hands. And that circumcision is simply God writing His word into you. God manifesting the substance of His truth into you. Are you with me? And in that process, He is changing you. In that process, He is transforming you. In that process, He is bringing forth a new person. In that process, He is establishing you before Him. In that process, He is doing something that you will never, 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 ever be able to do on your own. And this is why salvation is wonderful when we really understand it. Salvation enables something of God to be established in us. Salvation is something that makes God alive to us. Salvation is something that enables us to live by God. And we need to learn how to live by God. Are you with me? Okay, so all that we have been teaching actually is to come alive to God, right, from your insides, right, so that you can function by God. And when you can function by God, actually function by God, you will no longer want to function by yourself. The thought of functioning by yourself will no longer appeal to you. Why? Because functioning in ourselves ultimately is futile, right? What you could do 10 years ago, you can't do today. Maybe you are at the peak of your life, so you think everything is growing. But when you reach 40 and above, everything starts going on a decline, right? All that you had, all your abilities, all start going on a decline, and then you realize you are perishing, right? All the brilliance and everything else is something of the past. It starts diminishing. And when you pass 50, the diminishing becomes very, very strong. When you pass your 60, it accelerates, correct? All right? And that's when we realize that there has to be something else to life than just trying to live by ourselves. And God brings the reality of a different life by circumcising us. All right? So in all of your Christian life, it is what comes into you by the Lord Jesus Christ that will remain. You can practice all the principles you want, but the principles cannot change you. Only Jesus can. You listening? So often we know a lot of principles. The question is not whether we know principles. The question is whether you know Jesus. The question is whether you are able to live by the Lord. I'm not saying that there are no principles, but what I'm saying is that those principles must be unveiled in Jesus. He must live in you by those principles. If he does not, you're going to discover the same thing that the Jews did before. The Jews said, "Thou shalt not kill," was the law of God. But all of us kill when we use our mouths. Right? Correct? We destroy. When we get angry, when we are cornered, we speak words that we should not speak. And we can see clearly what is wrong with us. So what is the solution? The problem is the nature. Correct? You can control yourself, but you cannot change your nature. And that is the essential problem. Through circumcision, God brings into us a new nature. A nature that is of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now when that nature comes inside of you, you do not have the desire to kill, because that nature does not kill. Are you with me? And then you are changed. So if you look at your life today, you find that there are many things that God has changed inside of you. And those changes came from God. Sometimes you may have experienced the fact that why have those changes stopped? Very simple. You have replaced God with principles. And when you replace God with principles and works and everything else, you will stop growing. Because you can only change as Jesus comes alive in you. You cannot change by efforts. Right? Are you with me? So if you pray, pray by the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray in his name. Because if you don't pray in his name, you can pray as long as you want. It will not change your life. You can read the Bible. You can study the Bible. You can be a scholar in the Bible. But if you don't read the Bible in Jesus' name, it's a waste of time. Because the Word of God is only the Word of God in the name of Jesus. So there are many people who intellectually study the Word, but the Word is not living in their life. Why is it not living? Very simple. Because he lost touch with God. So when God brings his law to the people of Israel, he says, "You must hear that the Lord your God is one Lord. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. Because if you don't, you will die." Jesus has come from the cross. And if we forget the name of Jesus and we start doing the same thing that the Jews did, getting caught up with their sacrifices and building things and doing things and thinking that those things would keep them right before God, then everything will go wrong in our lives. So it is the power and the excellence of the Lord our God that is life. Okay? And this is a circumcised reality. All right? This is something God cuts into you, something he writes into you. It is written by the finger of God. It is not done by the intellect of man. So what is the message today? The message today is that we must learn to live by God. Right? We must learn to measure the love that we have for God. And we can measure it the moment we speak and the moment we act. Correct? You always speak and you always act. And you can always measure the love of God through what you speak and what you act. Right? You can always measure the love of God through the relationships that you have with others. You can always measure the love of God through the desires that are inside of you. Alright? Now when you do that, you will also find that you have got many things that are not right. The important thing is that you take those things to God. You do not try and handle those things in your strength. Alright? It is very important that you take all these things to God and you work it out in the name of Jesus. You work it out by the Holy Spirit. You do not try and handle your weaknesses in yourself. You will never get out of that. Alright? Something very, very basic, something very, very important. Alright? So, the law of God is meant to be fulfilled in our lives. Remember that. Alright? Not meant to be performed. I do ministry amongst the Jews, and that's one of the biggest things that they have as a stumbling block. Right? They believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They believe that He is the Messiah. But they still think in deep inside of their thinking processes that they are justified by the law. So all of their focus is on observation of the law. And they think that if I observe the law of God, I am a good man. So what happens to Jesus Christ? What happened to what He fulfilled? The Bible says in Matthew 5:17 that Jesus fulfilled the law and the prophets. The law of God is meant to be fulfilled in us. And unless it is fulfilled in us, in Jesus' name, it will not be performed. Are you with me? Are you listening? Alright? So it's very important that we understand this. It is not that God's laws do not apply to us anymore. They apply to us, but in a fulfilled reality. That means you walk into the realities of God's laws by the Spirit in Christ Jesus. You do not try and practice it on your own, because you cannot practice the law. Even if you practice the law, you can only practice it in your imperfection. Right? And all you will find as you practice the law is what you can do. And if you're open to the Holy Spirit, you will see the awesome reality of what you cannot do. And that's when you start getting frustrated. All right? And your Christian life should not be a frustration. It should be a growing progression. Right? Are you with me? As you see God coming alive in you, as you see God's power unveiling in your life, as you see God enabling you to think how to act, as you see the favor of God open over your life and you begin to realize, I'm living differently. I'm living differently. And that is so, so very crucial to our living. Praise the Lord. Okay? I just want to read a passage of Scripture before we celebrate Holy Communion. 1 John chapter 5, verse 10. First part of that verse, the one who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. That is crucial. This is how you will commune with God. Where did that witness come from? Look at verse 6. This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not with water only, but with water and with the blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is the truth. In Holy Communion, Jesus said, you must remember me. Now he was not talking about remembrance of the head. He was talking about remembrance of this witness inside of you. When you are born again, there is a witness inside of you to Jesus. And that witness is there. That's why you came alive to God. That's why you had a desire to find who He was. That's why you have a desire in you to read the Bible. That's why you have a desire to worship God. That's why you have a desire to go to church. That's why you have a desire to serve God. All right? All that is built into your witness. All that God gave you. It is part of God's provision for you. When Jesus says in the Holy Communion, remember me, he's talking about a lifestyle built in him. A lifestyle in which you remember him from this witness that he is building inside of you. Because with this witness you can function by the Holy Spirit. In this witness you can pray by the Holy Spirit. In this witness, whatever God puts into you will come alive in you by the name of Jesus. Because that which is not of the name of Jesus cannot stand before God. All right? And so we are talking about something very fundamentally practical to our state of being. What God is building into us and what God is nurturing inside of us in a living and growing remembrance. Right? So when God announced his name to Moses, he said, "This is my name, I am who I am." And he then said, "This is my memorial name to all generations. This is how you will remember me. And all generations will live in this remembrance." And this memorial depicts what you can live by. This witness inside of you depicts what God has given you of his life. This witness inside of you defines what God has made alive to you through his word. This witness inside of you enables you to walk before God and be blameless. And in your Christian life, as you grow in your Christian life, this witness inside of you must grow. All right? As you hear teaching, you must always respond to that teaching from the witness inside of you, not from your head. Not with your intellect, but with your witness inside of you. And when you do that, you'll find that as a human being preaches, the Holy Spirit brings to you many different types of teaching. The Holy Spirit starts opening to you things that are specific to your life, things that are specific to your calling, things that God has for your life, things that God wants to unveil inside of you and bring forth inside of you, because you belong to him. Because you are a unique creation. There is no one else like you. And so you need to respond to God from that witness. And you need to always be open to God from that witness. You live from that witness before God. Because that witness is God's provision to you. We say Jehovah Jireh. Now Jehovah Jireh is made manifest to you through that witness. And when you pray, whether you pray in tongues or whether you pray in language, right, you must learn how to hear by that witness. Are you with me? Let me show you a verse that tells us about this. 1 Peter chapter 2. Or rather, 1 Peter chapter 1. From verse 10. To verse 12. As to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful search and inquiry, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves but you in these things, which now have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit. Sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Now the prophets of old functioned by God inwardly. But they functioned by God inwardly when the anointing came upon them and then filled them. It was not all the time. But you and I are different. You and I are open to God all the time. You and I are open to God all the time. Now this is what God gave us through the cross. Now this is what is that witness that God wants to give us. This is the witness by which we celebrate Holy Communion. That's why it is called Holy Communion. And the communion is not just celebrated in church, it is celebrated in your life all the time. Okay? It is there all the time. It is there in conscious levels, it is there in subconscious levels, it is there in unconscious levels. Okay? So sometimes you can find yourself being warned of trouble, for instance, and you don't understand it. In your conscious state, you cannot understand what's the problem. But in your subconscious state, you know there is a problem. Alright? Okay. Sometimes you're walking into something. In your conscious state, you don't understand what is happening. In your subconscious state or unconscious state, you have a peace. And what is God telling you? That He is with you. And as you grow, you will find more and more that your conscious state will understand more and more things. Okay? But all of this, whether it's in your subconscious, your unconscious, or in your conscious, all of that is a growing remembrance. Amen? All of that is a growing remembrance. Are you with me? Alright? Okay. Praise the Lord. So this witness, nurture it and keep it very carefully. Do not let it become polluted. Alright? You nurture and keep that witness in the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Always be sincere and truthful before God, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 7 and 8. Clean out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, just as you are in fact unleavened. For Christ our Passover also has been sacrificed. Let us therefore celebrate the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Why with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth? Because you can only cultivate that witness that God has given you in sincerity and truth. Are you with me? So if you have a problem with sin, you take that sin before God. You don't try and hide it, and you don't try and handle it in your strength. Because you cannot handle it, and certainly you can't hide it. Right? You need to be sincere and truthful. God is not going to destroy you because you have sin in you. He already knew you had sin. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What does Satan come and do? Satan comes and he accuses you. You're not doing this, you're not doing that, you're not doing the other. What does he bring into your life? Condemnation. Right? Why does he condemn you? So that you will stay away from God. Correct? And it works very well, right? But that is not the solution. Staying away from God is to enter into the kingdom of darkness. The solution is to take it to the Lord and say, I have this problem. Right? Are you with me? Right? Open yourself to the Lord and just talk to Him and say, Lord, I need to handle this. I don't have the strength to handle. I don't even have the desire to handle it. I've grown so comfortable with my sins. Felt like that ever before? Yeah, sure. We all have that problem. I've grown so comfortable by doing what I want to do, by saying whatever I want to say. Right? Are you with me? Okay. And I know that the only one who has a solution for all of this is you, because I can't handle it. What are you saying? Lord, I need to be saved. Right? I need to be saved. If I'm going to change, you need to change me, because I can't change myself. Don't kid yourself, you can't change yourself. That's why people who practice the law ultimately find that they get stuck with their own righteousness. It comes to a certain level, after that they can't grow. Why can't they grow? Because that's all they can do. To grow beyond that, you need God. And that's why God says all our righteousnesses are filthy rags. So if you're going to do something right, it has to be done by the Lord your God. If it's not done by the Lord your God, it's not going to be right anyway. God designed us to live by Him. So He says, by law, you are to love me with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. What is He saying? Right? Your relationship with me is to be high above any other kind of relationship. It's going to be the basis on which you live. Because if you don't live like that, you cannot live. You don't have the ability to live by yourself. If you read the book of Ezekiel, you will find that Lucifer was anointed with every anointing. Every precious stone covered him, the book of Ezekiel writes. That means every kind of anointing was manifested over him. Was he anointed? Yes, he was anointed. What did he discover? That his anointing couldn't keep him pure. That over and above his anointing was God. and that when he left God, all his anointings were worthless. So when we celebrate Holy Communion, what are we celebrating? The fact that we need God. In Psalm 54 verse 1, David says, "Save me, O God, by thy name, vindicate me by thy power." Why does David say that? Was he a man of faith? Yes, he was. What did he realize? That his faith was not good enough. Did he have faith? Yes, he had faith. He had faith enough to fight Goliath. He had faith enough to kill a lion with his bare hands. But his faith was not good enough. And so what does he cry out? He cries out and say, "Oh Lord, you have to save me. You have to save me by your name." What is the name of God? I am who I am. So it is no difference for us. God has to save us. The moment you try to save yourself, you're committing a grave error. You cannot save yourself. You can only live when you live by God. And in that process, you will come to love Him because you begin to see His grace and His mercy. You begin to see His love. You begin to see how painstakingly He works His salvation with you. You begin to realize how awesome it is to be a Christian. How privileged it is to be a Christian. You begin to realize how much God loves you. Hello? Faith is not imagination, all right? Faith is substance, evidence. Truth is the evidence. And the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus sets you free from the law of sin and death. All right? It's a miracle. So as we celebrate communion, let's understand what God is telling us, all right? Luke chapter 22. Verse 14 to verse 16. "And when the hour had come, he reclined at the table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, 'I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God.'" What are we partaking of? Fulfillment. Where is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is within you. How do you discern the kingdom of God? With all that is within you. And this kingdom of God that is to be established within you is to be fulfilled. And this fulfillment is called a Passover. A Passover from darkness into light. And from light into more light. It is a continual growth process. And Jesus said, "I am going to suffer for this Passover to manifest." He suffered for this Passover to come alive into you personally. And this is something I always keep repeating. You must understand that Jesus died for you personally. That all of his suffering was for you personally. If you don't understand that personally, you cannot grow in the Lord. If you do not understand that he loved you personally, in spite of all of your flaws, then you do not understand what the cross is telling you. You do not understand what the witness of the cross is. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't die for good people. He didn't die for perfect people. He didn't die because you prayed 17 times a day. He died because he loved you. He died because he knew you needed the help. He died to save you. Now don't replace him with yourself. So after you got born again, you decided that now you can live on your own strength. Wrong. When you are born again, you realize that unless God saves you, you cannot live. And so this Passover is open to you so that you will understand that he loved you. That no matter how many flaws we all have, and we all have flaws, there are no exceptions to that. This Passover has been consecrated by the blood of Jesus for you and I to realize it must be fulfilled. And it will be fulfilled. No one is going to stop it. Satan can stand on his head and he can dance on his head, and he can't stop this from being fulfilled because Jesus suffered to fulfill this. And because Jesus suffered, it will be fulfilled. Right? Praise the Lord. And now the Lord says, in verse 19 and verse 20, and when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you." When you see the cross and you understand what is on the cross, you understand that it has been given for you. It was not given for anybody else. It was given for you personally. "Do this in remembrance of me." Why? Because I have called you to become my body. So my body was made as an offering, so that you will become, through salvation, my body. That I will live through you. That I will enable you to do what you otherwise would never be able to do. What are we saying? Learn to live by the Lord. When you learn to live by the Lord, you are remembering Him. When you learn to live by yourself, you are denying Him. All right, verse 20. "And in the same way he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, 'This cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood.'" Very important. The entire new covenant is in the blood. His blood, not in your blood. Hello? His blood, do you understand? His blood was poured out for you, and in that the entire covenant is given to you. You only have to receive it. There's no such thing as you have to pay. You have to pray 19 hours, 365 days of the week before you can receive this. No, it is given to you in His blood. And His blood has been opened to you as a witness. You only need to receive. The fact is, it has been given. But God has given you a free will to receive. And you must receive and you must walk into it. The entire new covenant is yours. Every promise in the Bible is yours. And as those promises come alive in you, it is a growing fulfillment. It is a circumcised reality. And that circumcised reality is a remembrance. So brethren, how do we remember Jesus? Superficially? No. Right? From the witness inside of you. Okay? And when you actually remember Him, you will change. You will learn to live through Him. You will learn to live by Him. You will learn to discover a lifestyle you never thought existed. And that is not make-believe, all right? It can be evidenced. Okay? All right. Praise the Lord. Shall we celebrate communion? Shall we just pray? Father, we want to bless you and thank you for this time that you have given us. We thank you for your word. And we thank you, O Lord, that it is your purpose to enable each and every one of us to love you with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. This is your miracle in our life. And Father, we also understand, O God, that this miracle is unveiled in a witness. And a witness to be unveiled in us by faith, in righteousness, in love, and in holiness, Father. That this is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And so as we come to celebrate this Passover, we are celebrating what you have given to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not celebrating this Passover because we are good people, Father, but because you are a good God. Because you chose to die for us on a cross, Father. Because you chose to redeem us in your blood. And we have come before you as a church to celebrate your grace, to celebrate your love, to celebrate your forgiveness, to celebrate your healing, to celebrate your strengthening, to celebrate your transformation, to celebrate your glory, to celebrate, O God, with thanksgiving, all that you have given us in your Son. So we ask you, O God, to sanctify these elements of the bread and wine, that they will be to us by your Holy Spirit, the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that as we partake, we will partake of Him in His flesh and in His blood, that we will receive of Him in His fullness, that this Passover will be established in us in Jesus' name. And so, Father God, we thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit in bringing us forth as a new creation in Christ Jesus. We want to thank you. We want to bless you. We want to worship you. We want to declare that you are our God. We ask you, Father, to save us by your name, to vindicate us by your power. Oh Lord, you know our sins, the sins that we even don't know, the sins that we often do not recognize. Oh Lord, we ask you to save us, Father. We ask you to deal with us. And we ask you, oh God, to transform us. We ask you to remove from us the heart of stone and to make us like little children who can hear your voice and respond to your voice, Father. We ask you, O God, to bring forth life in us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we have come to celebrate life, Father. You have given us the living bread that came down out of heaven. Of his fullness we have all received, grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. We thank you for that realization, which is a growing remembrance within us, Father. A remembrance that proclaims that we are living and growing to live in the name of Jesus, Father. And we thank you, O God, for this witness that is of the blood, the water, and the Spirit, made alive in us, O God, in the substance of his fullness. We ask you, O God, to save us by your name. We ask you to bring us forth as a new creation in Christ Jesus. We ask you, O God, to establish us in the name of Jesus. We bless you and thank you for who you are and for who you are becoming in each one of our lives. We thank you, O God, for your persevering work in each one of our lives. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you, O God, for all that you have given us. In Jesus' name, amen. Blood is life to us, Father, and you have given us the blood upon the altars of our heart, that we may celebrate the new covenant that you have given us in the blood. Teach us to receive your word by your Spirit. Clothe us in your Spirit and enable us to live in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, we pray that you will enable this witness that is being built into each one of us to grow in us, O Lord. Lead us, enable us to respond to you through this witness that is alive in Jesus' name. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we thank you for what you have given us today. We thank you for what you have brought us through. We thank you for what you're going to take us through, Father. We pray that you will enable us to respond to you, that you will enable us to walk in your ways, that you will enable us to live in your name. You will enable us, O Lord, to be a blessing wherever we go. We ask, O God, that everything that we have in thought, word, and in deed will become an expression of the living Christ by your Spirit, Father. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.